Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, it's another week. Thank you very much for joining. This is the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie. I think you know that by now. This is where we celebrate the human power of industry, being the voice for industry. This week was incredible. Got a great story to tell you. I can't wait to get the show on the road. We're going to be interviewing a young lady by the name of Teresa Swinton, and she's with Paradigm Human Performance, not Paradigm. I know it's spelled that way, but it's Paradigm. Paradigm Human Performance. She's amazing. She's from the UK. Incredible. So let's get this show on the road. Thank you once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. All right. Got a lot to cover. Can't wait to get going. Thank you again. I really enjoy it. I get the opportunity to really interview a lot of great people. In this interview, I'm excited about sharing because we're all about that organization where there's a ton of things that we need to know within the industrial space. And one, of course, do you have the right team in place? Do you have that organization hopping and popping and what you need to get going? But before we get going, of course, you know, we got to get going on this thing that we call, Tailgate Talk.
Tailgate Talk number one.
Okay, this is the story. Southeastern University College of Business. I had the wonderful opportunity to talk to them last night and really just share with them about digital marketing, about podcasting, about the exciting times that we live as professionals and what they're just getting ready to embark upon. It was just a fabulous experience. Wonderful young professionals. I feel comfortable leaving this world in their hands because they just were so focused, so dedicated, wonderful teachers out there. It was such an honor. But get this, man. If you're looking out there, and of course you are because, well, it's on YouTube, they gave me a nice thank you card. I'm showing it in the camera, of course. Put my ugly mug on it, but nonetheless, it is very, very nice. But the best part, if you're looking out on YouTube, line up, baby, line up. They gave me a shirt. It's a fantastic shirt. How generous are they? I was just so surprised that they did that. Once again, that's Southeastern University. This is their College of Business. This is what they do. And this thank you note goes on my right behind me because that's where all my thank you notes and special writings go. So right there, man, I'm just so happy. That was such a wonderful experience. Great, great young people.
Number two.
Okay, over the past, I think, couple of times, so we've been talking about this learning management system, and it really is focused on the industrial platform, and it takes into consideration, I'm putting out five categories. One, of course, leadership. Two, we're talking about the financial side. Three, operations. Four, what I'm passionate about, what I am always talking about, and that's filling that funnel. That's sales, marketing, and business development. And the fifth one is technology. How do you do more with less? What technology exists out there? What we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking all of these incredible interviews that we've had on the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're going to put them in, and we're going to create a system, an education. We call it the Industrial Academy. It's out there, but we're still sort of putting a little meat on the bones there. So stay tuned for that because I know I'm pretty excited about it. And I got to tell you, it's such an honor to be able to have individuals with such incredible caliber of skills being a part of that. So stay tuned.
Number three.
Okay, if you're out there on YouTube, right? If you're out there on YouTube, and you're looking at my ugly mug because it is ugly. Don't get me wrong. I am very proud of the fact that I'm ugly, and that's why I do this. So I go to District Donut. This is industrial approved food, District Donuts. Now, there's one in New Orleans, and there's one in Baton Rouge. I'm not sure if there might be another one out there, but I go to the one in Baton Rouge. And every time I go, now, I get coffee there, but I look at their donuts. And on the YouTube channel, you can see, I don't know which side it is on, but maple bacon, a maple bacon donut. And then the other one right next to it, chocolate milk. Industrial approved food? Yeah, that's a check because I can't tell you. I mean, it's awesome. And they do a great job, and they're very happy to be able to provide that quality of food. So let's get on with the interview right now. This is Teresa Swinton. So Teresa came through me, I think, on LinkedIn, which is a powerful platform if you want to get to know a lot of good people. And she founded Paradigm Human Performance. And what a delight. And she's got tremendous street cred when it comes to talking about what she does with this organization and how this organization can truly consider it transform your business, your team, whatever it might be. But she is out there. She's in the UK, but she's got some fingers that are all the way over here in the North America area. So go out to, I'm having a hard time finding her on LinkedIn, but it's with Paradigm Human Performance. Not Teresa per se, but Paradigm Human Performance. So let's get going. I'd like to introduce you to Teresa Swinton, and she's the founder and CEO of Paradigm Human Performance. All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much once again for joining. I really appreciate it. You know, this is where we highlight the professionals within the industrial space. And you know, this interview, I am really excited. She's a delight. She's amazing. We've been talking offline, and we've had some good laughs. So I'm really excited. Hey, Teresa, welcome. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This is Teresa Swinton. Swinton. How you doing?
Hi, Scott. I'm very well, thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
And you're coming from the UK, right?
Yes, I am, yes.
I love technology because that we can do this, and it sounds right real time and all that fun stuff. So I'm really pretty excited about that. I know you're busy, and you just came back from holiday, and so you probably got a stack of work, but you found time to be on the Industrial Talk Podcast for our listeners, and I appreciate that. Let's, you know, I'm looking at definitely your stat sheet on LinkedIn, but instead of me reading it off, why don't you give us information on who you are and where you came from, just a little background so that the listeners understand why you are such an industrial pro.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Teresa Swinton, as you said, and I'm the CEO and founder of Paradigm Human Performance.
Are you sure it's Paradigm?
I am absolutely positive, Scott. It's not Paradigm.
What? Okay? It's spelled like Paradigm.
I know, but we're just...
Paradigm, guys. Paradigm, everybody. It's Paradigm, not Paradigm. Go.
So I started Paradigm Human Performance in March 2017. So we're just over a year old. And that was to introduce what we call human and organizational performance improvement to organizations in the UK and across Europe. Prior to that, I worked for one of the big six UK energy suppliers, where I was a human performance and nuclear professionalism manager. And prior to that, I've spent time in the rail industry and construction, HV distribution, and so on and so forth, both in operational roles as projects management or operations management, and then more latterly moving into occupational health and safety leadership, and being a practitioner at some coal and nuclear powered power stations.
You know, what fascinates me about you, Teresa, is the fact that you had a pretty sound job. You had a, you know, your classic career, but you decided to go out on your own. What compelled you to go out on your own and blaze your own trail?
Yeah. Basically, Scott, what happened was, as happens in a lot of organizations, large organizations, there was yet another restructure coming up. And I kind of thought, you know, there's more that I can do outside of this organization with what I know. And human performance that I'd been working in at that point for sort of 7 or 8 years was really exciting to me, but I could see that there were organizations outside of the sort of nuclear industry, outside of aviation and the space exploration, that could really benefit from this stuff, this knowledge, and these tools and techniques that I was using and implementing in these big blue chip organizations. And I'm really passionate about what I do. So the opportunity arose, and I grabbed it with both hands, really. And the rest is kind of history.
So, when you say benefit, now, because I there are a lot of I don't know, maybe let's say catchwords out there within the industrial area, and tell me and the listeners what you mean by human performance, like, I mean, and organizational performance. What are you trying to accomplish with that?
So human performance is about looking at the way that the person in the organization is susceptible to making human error. We know from research done that humans on average make around about 5 errors per hour.
I wish I could say that. I wish my stat was that low.
Oh, well, I'm always way above average, everything I do. So
we excel at errors.
Excel at errors, definitely, Scott. So when you take that into the mix of the work environment, the majority of those errors, thankfully, have very little consequence or no consequence at all. In fact, we don't even know we've made them the majority of the time. But clearly, some of those errors have the potential to have a massive impact, negative impact on the organizations that they work for. And so human performance helps the organization to look at the way that they set their people to work in order to determine whether they're setting them up to fail or succeed. And fortunately for us, there are some clues that human error is, we can predict it because humans are kind of predictable. We all are. We can predict where human error will occur, why it will occur, and what the conditions are in which it can thrive. So we can help organizations to identify these kind of what I call perfect storm situations where people are likely to make an error that is likely to result in an unwanted or negative outcome for the organization. Now, typically, we start with an organization looking at their health and safety performance, and very often new clients will contact us after they've had an incident. It could be a repeat incident and they're scratching their heads thinking, well, you know, what else can we do to address this and prevent it happening again? We thought we'd done everything. So that's where we normally step in with a new client, a new organization. But of course, human error doesn't just result in unwanted safety outcomes, accidents and incidents. So very often what we find is when we start to work with an organization, we very quickly are looking at how human error can contribute to lost productivity, reputational damage to the organization, quality of product can be impacted. So we tend to move very quickly right across the organization to look at the types of errors that are being made by all of the people that have an impact on all of the organization. Safety tends to be our primary focus.
Yeah, but once again, errors are a result also, can be a financial impact, could be a credibility impact, whatever it might be, especially in this Absolutely. Time of digital marketing, and that information can go out to the world in a matter of a jet second. So when let's say I have this issue, I'm a company, I come to you and I go, man, I have this repeat issue. And I need some sort of a root cause. Is that really sort of where you're going and saying, I need to stop this problem. I need a root cause. Tell me what's going on. I can't solve it. Is that what happens?
Well, I think that's probably the starting point of where a lot of companies struggle, because they are sometimes looking for a single root cause. But the reality is that there's very rarely just one root cause. There are very often a number of causal factors, and what we call latent organizational weaknesses or latent conditions that sit undetected in the organization's systems, in its culture, in its leadership and worker behaviors that very often contribute to these events. And what we see when we look at the way that our clients and any organization investigates these events, we very often see that they stop at the human error and they call that the root cause. But of course, what we do is we help them to understand the conditions in which human error thrives. So we make sure an organization digs beneath the human error to find out what drove the behavior. Why did it make sense for the individual to do the thing they did at that time, which then resulted in that outcome?
But let me ask you this. So that's great. Don't get me wrong. I understand. That makes sense. Companies need to do that. And it's always probably a continuous battle just because cultures just ebb and flow and fluctuate, whatever it might be. But how does what you do and how you focus on the information and evaluate an organization, how does your stuff, your approach, differ from other firms that sort of provide similar services?
So what we do in terms of human performance is we try to give our clients a new, get this word, paradigm. We try to help them understand the environment in which their people are working. And we introduce them to some theory called the drift model. And the drift model talks about a drift away from our standards. So as a leadership team, we set standards for our people to work to. And then typically over a period of time, those standards get corroded through a number of reasons. Could be poor leadership behaviors, might be conflicting objectives for the organization. It could be that the procedures that workers require to work with are inadequate or they don't have any procedures. It could be bad rules, things like that, that actually result in, they drive the behavior of the worker away from the standard. What we very often find is that organizations' typical response is to what we call fix the worker. So they'll put them through retraining, they'll write more clauses in a procedure, they'll tell them to pay more attention, care more, in other words.
Right.
And so those things don't fix. Those things don't fix the problem. What we have to do is get the organization to understand that actually the human is working with the flawed systems that the organization has and all of these other factors in order to create safety out of them, which is why we don't have as many accidents or incidents as we potentially could have. Typically in this day and age, we perform really well when it comes to safety. We don't injure too many people. We don't have too much damage in our organizations. So really, where we differ is we help an organization to fix the things that are within its power to fix, as opposed to just simply focusing on fixing the worker.
So what you're doing is you're taking a step back. You're looking at the organization. You're saying, hey, I'm a human being. I'm going to follow what procedures are in place. And also, whatever the culture it is, I'm Joe here says that I need to turn a wrench this way, whatever it might, I'm oversimplifying it. But what I'm doing is me as a person, I'm just sort of listening to maybe the people around who have been doing it for many, many years, who've been following somewhat the procedures in place. What you're saying is that I'm going to look at upstream a little bit and then be able to say, those are flawed, let's modify it, and then be able to communicate that to the people in the field.
Yeah, sometimes what we see, Scott, is that following an incident, the company will look at a procedure and it will say to the individual involved, well, you didn't follow the procedure. But then what we do is we start to look at the custom and practice within that organization and around that task. And it could well be, and it very often is, the fact that nobody follows the procedure because the procedure's flawed or it doesn't, it's not been updated or it doesn't reflect the work that we're doing out there. So when an organization starts to look at the way that people work, we very often find that the people are creating the gap, they're filling the gap to excellence despite the flawed procedures. And then suddenly something goes wrong and then we want to blame the worker, whereas we might have spent months or potentially years ignoring or turning a blind eye to the fact that they didn't follow the procedure because they created successful outcomes out of that.
You're going to have a real conversation. I mean, a real conversation with leadership and saying, hey, guys, you're not, I mean, your procedure says this, but you're setting up your employees for failure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, we've all been operational leaders and managers, and I know you have. But how many times have you, there's been a rush job on over the weekend, or a piece of kit has gone down that you really needed to complete or fulfill a requirement for a client?
Yeah.
And you kind of, say to normally your number one guy, we really need to get this job done. This is going to have a huge impact on us as an organization. And you go out on a Friday night, you close the office door, you come back in on a Monday morning, and miraculously the job has been done and the client has received his order or the work's been completed. And as a leader, we celebrate and we get the good guy in and we say, oh, that was a great job, well done, thanks for getting that done. Very often what we fail to do is say, how the hell did we get that job done then? Did we actually apply all the safety rules? Did we follow the procedures? Or did we have to actually break a few rules? Leaders who don't ask those questions and they just celebrate the outcome are very often unwittingly reinforcing undesired behaviours. And that sometimes when we work with a client, that is the biggest eye-opener that we give them when they look and say, actually, yeah, you're right. We've been condoning some of this stuff for a long time. And we need to hold up the mirror and reflect on our own behaviours here. Because if we just simply say to the guys, follow the procedure in future, then actually we could be in a whole heap of trouble. And in fact, if you think about some of the industrial actions that our unions take when they introduce a work to rule, mm-hmm. What happens? The whole place comes to a grinding halt. Nothing gets done. It's there for us all to see.
Oh, well, we're going to be taking a break. You know what, Teresa? You know what I want to talk about on the other side of this? I want to talk about how you define success, what's important to you, and I've got some questions specifically around, yeah, okay, that's all great and good, but when there's a firestorm up, something going on, how do you maintain that level of continuity and control in that firefight? So thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, the Industrial Talk Podcast has a new sponsor by the name of ASG Energy. Now, this company helps private companies as well as public organizations of all sizes reduce energy costs through the use of commercial LED lighting technology and electrical services. Now, you know me. I'm a big fan of LED just because, well, first off, I don't have to change the lights, but on a commercial basis, oh my gosh, the energy savings is phenomenal. The reduction in maintenance costs, phenomenal. Return on investment, quick. It's incredible. And the environmental benefits, self-explanatory. So, you have any questions about LED commercial lighting? You need to check out my friends at ASGEnergyLLC.com. Find out more because they know what they're doing. So check them out. All right. Welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Teresa was really worried about how she sounded on the podcast, but I told her and I gave her incredible confidence knowing that she is fantastic, which you are, Teresa. Don't even question yourself. The information you're providing is fantastic and needs to be heard in the industrial space. Now, do you feel good about yourself? Because that is, let me see, if I'm looking at your bio, that's an important component. Yeah, yeah. Uplifting conversation. It's not. I'm just sort of pulling it out. Hey, we were talking about it. Now, I shamelessly asked you if the listeners could get a copy of that organizational drift model. And you said?
Yes, absolutely
you
yes.
did. Because yeah. you can't say no to me. And so what we're going to do for all of the listeners out there, as we go through this, I think that that's an incredible model that you got to look at, download it. It'll be a part of her podcast thing on my website at industrialtalk.com. And you'll download it there, and I'm sure that'll help you out. So anyway, we sort of laid the foundation for this segment, and I'm really intrigued because I've been out there in the field and all hell is breaking loose and things just got to get done to get that asset back up and running. And you know, unfortunately, there are many companies that take shortcuts to get things done. How do you, as a provider of these services and as a practitioner, you know, ensure that that is going to go continue on?
So there's no silver bullet and quick fix. I think it's really important to start by saying that. But what we do is we try to get an organization to think about the things that can go wrong and plan for them. So some of your listeners may have heard of high reliability organizations who are really focused on failure. So they're constantly planning for failure. So what we do is we introduce some tools and techniques to our customers, one of which is something called appreciative inquiry. Now, an organization typically learns from its errors. When things have gone bad, when things have gone wrong, they look back and see why it went wrong. Right. And very often what they do in that circumstance is they'll apply something we call hindsight bias. So it's very easy to look back at something that went wrong and be able to say, oh, well, we could have seen that coming. What we do is we teach organizations how to learn from successful work. Because based on the theory of human performance, what we say is that where work is completed continually, successfully, it's likely that that is where people have already found the workaround. They already know the corners to cut. They already know how to work well despite flawed defenses. So it's kind of a slow journey, but it teaches organizations to plan for the things that can go wrong. Appreciative inquiry is about getting a learning group together, looking at repeatedly successful work, and really interrogating that to say, well, why does that piece of work go so well? And of course, the benefit of that as well is that it's easy to repeat successful behaviors, but it's more difficult to correct unsuccessful behaviors. You know, the things that have already gone wrong, unfortunately, have already gone wrong. But by virtue of the fact that majority of the stuff that we do in our organizations goes well, it goes right. So let's understand why that happens so that we can keep repeating those things over and over again.
But you got to have a loop back into, let's say we, you know, a situation came out and you got to get that thing up and running and you're working. And because it's happened before, you just know how to get it done. But the procedures or the policies or whatever that's in place do not support that activity, but it's still a very safe approach, but it is the right approach. Do you loop Absolutely. Back with that? You loop back. You got to say, hey, that worked well, but your policy says it's, you know, it's got to be B and you did A, and we got to modify that.
That is absolutely the purpose of the appreciative inquiry.
Because outside of the fact that I don't understand or how to spell appreciative, I just like the word itself.
You can call it, we've been doing this for a number of years, and there's a relatively new concept that's coming around at the moment, and it's called safety differently. Thanks to a gentleman from Brisbane called Sydney Decker, who, if you haven't come across, I'd strongly suggest that you Google him and look at Sydney and Sydney's work and read some of his books.
Why don't you, do you know him?
Yes, I do know him. I have met him. I wouldn't say we're great friends, but I do know him.
Well,
yes,
here comes a 41. This is information. Here comes a shameless plug. You got to open up that door for me and the listeners at Industrial Talk. There you go. Just dropped it. Truth bomb.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that, Scott. I'll do that. Yes. So, appreciative inquiry is the opportunity for organizations to look at that successful work. And you're absolutely right. You've hit the nail on the head. What will come out of those learning groups is, well, yeah, we do this job this way because we've upgraded the plant, but we didn't upgrade the procedure. Or actually, we've changed the product. And so we have to do some extra processing with it. But actually, we haven't updated the kit that we need, you know. So all of those things come out, and you're absolutely right. That's the point at which you say, well, okay, well, we need to amend the written procedure to match the way we're doing the job if it's the safest way. So that's exactly what the purpose of that appreciative inquiry is, because then what you can also start to do is say, well, what can go wrong? What has gone wrong in the past? and what did we do, and what could go wrong? What's the worst thing that could happen while we're conducting this activity or doing this task? And how can we make sure those human errors don't occur? So how can we avoid the perfect storm of conditions? How can we identify what we call error precursors, and how can we remove them? How can we take away those error likely situations that put people in the place where they can make those errors, which then result in those unwanted outcomes? That's the whole purpose of appreciative inquiry.
I'll tell you, I live in Realville, right? And I know that this, because it's going to take a long time, and I know that today's great. Today we're following all of those wonderful procedures and that appreciative inquiry or whatever. I mean, that's great. It has to be driven by the top. If it's not driven by the top, everybody will just go back into their old activities, whatever it might be. It just and you won't have that loop back of saying, no, we did it this way, and that's why this is good, and that's why we're just constantly improving. Realville says that's not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the biggest challenge. Very often when we work with our customers, it's the biggest challenge is to get that senior leadership team on board, that executive team. They really have to want this. They really have to believe it. And they really have to believe that they have a role to play in improving this. Of course, it's a real challenge because it's just easier to fire the worker or, you know, send them back to learn how not to be an idiot school and, you know, don't make any more error classes. And of course, you know, those are quick fixes. And it means that an organization, a leadership team can say, well, we ticked that box. We did something. You know, we fired the jerk or, you know, we'll make sure that never happens again because we've disciplined him or her. But it's not sustainable. The next person that comes in is likely to make the similar error or to do the same thing. Because very often, as we've said, it's driven by culture, it's driven by custom and practice. So you're absolutely right. You have to get top leadership buy-in to these programs. And it takes balls of steel for sometimes for a leadership team to look up and say, okay, look, we are going to look at this, we're going to do this, and we're going to take a new view of safety and how we drive safety in our organization. What I will say, Scott, because it is really important, is that we are really learning about what some organizations call black swan events. And another proponent of the human and organizational performance movement, if you like, in the US, two people, Todd Conklin, who also has a podcast.
Not as good as mine.
Obviously not as good as yours. His is called Pre-Accident Investigation, and he's also written some books on this subject matter at all. Those major catastrophes, those fatalities, those black swan events, they happen in all organisations, and very often we don't see them coming. And they are sad, but facts of life. And as organizations, all we can do is look at through things like appreciative inquiry, through making sure we've got leadership buy-in and we've created those really strong forms of communication up and down through the organization and across that mean that we can look at where these things can happen, what the likely situations are in which they'll occur, and then learn how to fail safe. So we build resilience, we build redundancy into our systems, we build resilience into our processes and our procedures and our activities so that when we have a human error, and we inevitably will, 5 an hour per worker, if you think about that and you do the math, that's quite a staggering number. How can we fail safe? How can we make sure that the guy or girl who are going to make the error and potentially have the accident, how can we keep them safe? How can we reduce the consequences of human error? And really, that's what human performance is really helping us to get to grips with. So again, Todd Conklin, Pre-Accident Investigation is a book I'd really recommend you to pick up and have a look at as a starting point into this. And another guy who I know I'm going to introduce you to, we've already talked about
him. Again, shameless.
is that, yeah, Shane Bush of Bush Co., HPI, Shane delivers training in this. And he's my mentor in what I do. Work very closely with Shane.
What's fascinating to me, and you bring it up, and it happens, every conversation that I have, it always gets down to that top leadership support.
Yeah.
It just does. And things just naturally fall apart when that does not exist. And I mean, that's across the board. If you want to have a safety culture, it's got to be driven by the top. If you want to have a reliability culture that's focused on asset uptime, it's got to be driven by the top. And what you're talking about is an organization that you can't let your foot off the gas. You cannot back away and say, hey, we're all good. So how do you define success? How do you, Teresa, define success?
For me, success is when I walk into, you know, be it a construction site or a power station or a factory, and I speak to the workers and they say, you know, our leaders really get it. They really understand this stuff and they listen to us. And, you know, we've got good procedures, we've got good processes, we've got good, standards of safety, and our leaders, they give a damn about us. They really care about us. And we feel like we're contributing to the overall mission of this organization. And I know those are just sound bites. But actually, there are very few organizations that you go into that you consistently hear those kind of sound bites at all levels of the organization. So those are the signs of success that the workforce really feel ownership. It's really interesting as well. I guess I take two views of leadership. So obviously, when we're talking about the hierarchy of an organization, at the top level, we've got the senior management team. But also when we work with an organization, what we do is we work really hard to identify not just the leaders who have got manager in their title, because I guess we all know, don't we, that not all managers are leaders. And if you're a manager who's out there managing people, yep, and you look behind you and no one's following, then you're probably not a bloody leader. You're just managing.
True.
You know, so for me, leaders exist at every level in an organization.
Right.
So who are the thought leaders in your organization? Who is the woman or the man in a team of workers who determines what work gets done, how it gets done, when it gets done, and when we knock off today and go home? Because there will be, those people exist right across every organization. So as well as engaging your top management team and educating them about this new way, this new paradigm of human performance, you actually really have to engage those thought leaders as well, the people who are currently actually driving the performance of your business, whether you know it or not. Now, hopefully the majority of those thought leaders are driving the performance of your business in a really positive way. But time and time again, we see them as the skeptical, militant people sitting in an organization who just repeatedly say, well, the management don't listen. We've been telling them things for years. Those are influential people in your organization. So you must get them bought in as well.
But you know what? You're on this podcast specifically. One of the reasons why the Industrial Talk podcast is, outside of the fact that I'm passionate about what the industrial space does globally and how it impacts people, but really, we're here to change. We're here to change the industrial, you know, market for the better. If it's just one, fantastic. It's one. If it's two, even better, and so on and so forth. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's where you're going. And that's what's so impressive about what you're focused on, and I hope it's resonating with the listeners of Industrial Talk Podcast, because I think it's important. And so, with that parting shot, we've got to take another break. You're listening to Teresa, and her name is Teresa Swinton. She is the founder and CEO of Paradigm Human Performance, and we're talking a lot about the way you, an organization, can be better. So stand by. We'll be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, Please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. This is our last segment. Really enjoying the conversation with Teresa here. I got a couple of questions that I want to rifle out real fast. Where do you see the future going, Teresa?
So for Paradigm Human Performance, what my aspiration is that every person in the UK and Europe to start with will be who specializes in this area. So whether you're human factors, human and organizational performance, human performance improvement, safety differently practitioner, uses Paradigm Human Performance, the website, as your connection point. I want to create a hub and a center of excellence for people who specialize in this industry and in this work. And basically what I want Paradigm to become is the first stop shop, if you like, for anyone who's looking to learn more, to be educated, or to get in touch with a practitioner or a consultant who is either experienced in their industry or lives near them, you know, geographically close by. But basically, yeah, that's what I see. I see Paradigm being this hub, center of excellence, hopefully global, for people to come to and find a practitioner that they can work with to improve their organization.
That is a noble purpose. I like that a lot. So they can come to you and say, hey, Teresa, I found you on LinkedIn. You got a website out there. Where can they get a hold of you?
So they can have a look at the website, which is www.paradigmhp.com.
And that's P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M, not D-I-M-E. Do not spell it that way. That's D-I-G-M at the end of Paradigm. Go.
Yeah. And or they can email me at teresa@paradigmhp.com.
Good.
And they can also give us a call if they're in the UK. Then they can give us a call on 01600887228. Obviously, if you're international, you need to put a +44 and drop the zero in there.
A lot of math going on with that number. A lot of math. But yes, we can handle
sorry
it.
About that. Yeah, okay. And obviously, as you say, they can find us on LinkedIn as Paradigm HP. I think we've got about 3,000 followers on there at the moment. We're also running a HOP UK and Europe group there on LinkedIn, which you can search.
Can I be a part of the group? Are you the administrator?
I am, yeah.
I will be posting on your I will be.
Yes. I thought you were already on there, actually, Scott.
I think you were. I think it is. Never mind. Disregard anything that I just said on this podcast. So disregard.
Yeah. So regardless of where you are, if you go onto our website today, you'll see that we are building our bank of associates. So we've got associates in South Africa. We've got associates in America. We've got associates in Canada. We've got a number of associates in the UK. We're few and far between, actually, in the UK and Europe, hence me starting this organization. Wow. So, yeah, you know, there is somebody on our website that you can connect with who will understand your industry, understand your environment, and be able to introduce you to some of these concepts and theories.
Okay, we're going to shift gears real quick here. I need to understand what books you like, influential books. Give it to me.
Oh, okay. So influential books for me. Tony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within. I just found that really inspiring and certainly like to try and get an hour of power. Sorry, I just dropped my headphones
it's
there.
Okay. It's the power coming from the...
Yes, the power.
That's right. Boom.
So, Tony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within. Another book, unfortunately, this lady's no longer with us, but it's an older book called Business as Unusual, and it's by a lady called Anita Roddick, who was the founder of The Body Shop. Do you guys have The Body Shop in the States?
You catch me off guard. I don't know. So
it's a skincare and cosmetics organization that was set
Oh yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you know, free trade.
Sure.
So she was a very inspirational lady for me in my early career. That's a book that's definitely worth checking out. Yep. And it really is about the power of community. That's what that book speaks to. Yeah. And really that's what Paradigm is about. And then of course, something probably your readers will have heard of is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey.
The classic.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, start with the end in mind.
Very good.
We see so many organizations who fail to paint that picture accurately enough. And therefore, when they start on their journey, they end up in a different place to where they intended. So, very good.
And okay, so we're going to wrap this up. What is your parting shot to the listeners? What pearls of wisdom can you provide the listeners of Industrial Talk Podcast?
Two, really, I'm going to share with you. My first one is to say, be mindful as a leader of the shadow you cast. So some of the things that you drive within your organization will not be explicit, they'll be implicit. So think about if everyone in your organization started mirroring your behaviors today, would that be a really good day at the office or a really bad one? So that's the first one. I want to be mindful of the shadow that you cast. Secondly, the other thing I would say is that, you know, human performance is relatively new. If you're outside of the nuclear or the aviation type of industries. So you'll pick up books and there's a lot of theory out there. There are very few people who can come in and give you practical, tangible tools and techniques to actually implement this stuff. My advice to you is read everything you can get your hands on. But you know what? Whatever works for your organization, that's the way to do it. So go out there, find your own way through this. The majority of people, we're winging it. You know, we're out there, we're finding our way through this. We're solving problems as we go. And don't be afraid to get out there and have a try. And if it doesn't work, do you know what? Well, that's just a fantastic opportunity for you to learn, try again, do something better.
Well, man, I'm inspired and I'm going to be... Friday is my day to live like Teresa. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get out there and connect with Teresa Swinton. I think her message is fantastic. Her purpose is honorable. I think you need to at least reach out. We're going to get and as I look at my notes, because I guarantee I would, that organizational drift model, we're going to have that out on the Industrial Talk Podcast website. That's industrialtalk.com. And Teresa, you were fantastic. An absolute delight. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We're going to close this show out. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, that was, ladies and gentlemen, Teresa Swinton. She's with Paradigm Human Performance. You got to go out to LinkedIn. She's out there under Paradigm Human Performance. Send her a note. Connect with her. She's about solving problems. She's about making your organization a safer place, most definitely. So go out. Connect with her. She's a delight. She knows what she's talking about. Also, I'd like to reach out to those folks at Southeastern University College of Business, and thank you once again for allowing me the opportunity to speak to that organization. The future's bright for them. Thank you for the shirt. Thank you for the wonderful note. Line up big time. So thank you very much. And then finally, you know how to get a hold of me. I'm out there on industrialtalk.com. Got a LinkedIn, Scott McKenzie. Find me, connect with me. I'm there. Industrial Talk. We're on Facebook. We're on all of the other platforms, Twitter. You know, it's all Industrial Talk. I would love to be able to hear from you. And thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm very humbled that you guys are joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Have a wonderful week. Safe, sound. And I will see you next week with another great interview from an industrial professional. So be safe.